This morning, members, we have Representative Abrams, House File 47, the correction of city aid base for LGA computation. Representative Abrams, you want to move the bill?
Chairman, I move that House File 47 be recommended to pass. Mr. Chairman and members, House File 47 is a fix of a drafting error in the 2003 tax bill that affected local government aid. As members of the committee know, particularly those who've been in the committee for a while, when you have long bills and complicated bills, sometimes drafting errors occur. I do want to put on the record that the language that needs to be corrected was in the original House file as introduced in April of 2003, passed the House in April or early May of 2003, went to conference committee, was subject to the working group during a large part of 2003, and nobody caught the error. Not only did House staff miss it, Senate staff missed it, Department of Revenue missed it, all the lobbyists missed it, and I must also take responsibility because I read the bill cover to cover on many occasions, and I missed it. And unfortunately, it's one of the drafting errors that do occur. Last session, this provision was a part of the House tax bill. There were a number of conversations with a variety of people in the Senate regarding having the bill move separately. Even, I believe, the last night of session, I think that there were some members of the minority involved in meetings in which the offer was made to move the bill separately, but for a variety of reasons, it did not. After session, I went to the governor and to the governor's office and asked them to interpret the law regarding the distribution of local government aid as intended by the conferees in 2003, rather than the letter of the law. It's my understanding that the distribution of aid that went out in December was based upon the intent rather than the letter. All House File 47 does is it places the aid into the manner intended. One can disagree with what was done in 2003. I don't think that one can argue with the intent or the drafting error. At the end of the day, Mr. Chairman, when drafting errors occur in bills, it is the responsibility of the bill author to attempt to fix it as best he can. I have struggled mightily to do so and have introduced separate legislation on a bipartisan basis to do so. I will be meeting with Senator Pogemiller to discuss with him if he will allow House File 47 and a Senate companion, which I will give him the yellow jacket for, to go forward separately with no amendments or additions or deletions. That, members, is a outline of House File 47. Be very happy to stand for questions.
Questions or comments from members? Representative Rukavina.
I don't want this bill to get out of here in this short of a time until we have a little discussion on it, Mr. Chair, but maybe Ms. Dalton can help me. I'm looking at the run that is from this June, and so we'll go to a small city, let's say. Well, let's just go to one of my cities, Virginia, Ms. Dalton. So when I'm looking at the columns with Representative Abrams' bill, where do I look for the actual difference in if the governor had exercised his option or as Representative Abrams is correcting? Which column am I looking at for the final number?
Mr. Chair, members of the city, I don't think, Munson, you have this one. I have a few copies of it here.
Members, I'm sorry. This was not in the packet, but we can get copies so that everyone has them. So they'll be. We'll hand them out here in just a few minutes, but if those members who want can start looking at the copies that Ms. Dalton has.
One of the problems with the language that was overlooked and trying to interpret the language is there's a couple of possible interpretations of the language. So it's not only just the question of, you know, getting it to the intent, but if we don't, if the correction isn't made, what is the actual letter of the law? And there's two possibilities. I believe that the governor this summer was proposing going with what is called Alternative 2 in my run, which essentially would have restored all of the $361 million of grandfather that existed in 2003, plus double counting the $26 million of special grandfather that had been granted to various cities, particularly regional centers in outstate Minnesota. So if you're trying to figure out what would have happened in 2005 if the governor had not directed the Commissioner of Revenue to certify based on its intent for 2005, I would look at column 5, projected 2005 LGA under alternative 2. This would have moved about $40 million of aid between cities from where it was intended to go.
So, Mr. Chair, Ms. Dalton, then do I look on column 7 under alternative, if I call it that, column 7, under alternative 2 to see what the net effect of Representative Abrams' bill is, and then that indicates that Virginia loses zero under this, or? Or do I look under, so where is the total amount that either wins or loses under this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ruth Avina, this, column 7 is the loss that would occur to cities if, or the increase that would occur to cities if this technical correction is not made. And so the aid is distributed under the letter of the law as the governor and his staff were ready to interpret it.
Okay, I'm Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
You know, I've been on this committee a while, but I'm a slow learner. So let's go over this one more time.
Okay.
So when I vote today, if I vote for this bill, where does it show me here what the effect is going to be on my city? Whether or not the governor, to make this change, and I'm asking this, if we make this change today to what he... the former chair had intended, and what he says we all intended, which we didn't intend because we didn't vote for the bill, but, okay, if I vote for it, is Virginia going to pick up $107,000, or let's go to another place.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on page 12. Let's go to Ely. My friend Representative Dill here is on the committee, so I want Representative Dill to know if he votes for this bill today, we'll go to page 12 in Ely. Does Ely lose 205 or do they gain 205?
Mr. Chair, Representative Brooke Covina, they will gain, they will gain 205.
Mr. Chairman?
This bill would help Ely.
Okay. Or if I look at Everett, in two columns below, if I look at Everett, will they gain $159,000 by Abrams' bill here today, or will they lose?
No.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ruth Avina, they would gain $159,000.
See, you're looking at that, and that's why I was asking members, because he's going by what the intent of what the governor was going to do versus what Representative Abrams is correcting. So a negative means that you're a winner. And a positive means you're a loser.
I'm glad for that clarification.
These number crunchers are so much more intelligent than us that we can't follow it with simple math.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rivina, the people who are, the large group of cities who are losers, if the technical fix is not corrected, are the central cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. They will lose $16 million. And the smaller cities in outstate Minnesota, not the regional centers, although they're kind of a mixed bag for the regional centers, but the outstate Minnesota cities would tend to lose, and they would lose about $15 million.
Well, Mr. Chair and Ms. Dalton, I just want the members to know when they look at your run, when they get it here, that when they look at columns 6 and 7, when they see a negative number, they're a winner.
And if they see a positive number, they're giving up the farm.
So, Representative Mulery votes no. Representative Rucavina votes yes. So,
no, I cannot vote for him. Sarah, turn around. We're 100% behind you.
Okay. Representative Mulery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Dalton. Okay. Which I'm trying to go back to whatever you said to Representative Rucavina. If this bill goes through, this is neither of the alternatives.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mulery, if this bill goes through, it will make the technical fix. It will bring the law back into the intent, and it would be column 3 of this printout. Those numbers, I'm quite right, they've changed slightly because we have updated numbers after the front of the Senate.
Okay, what is alternative 1 and what's alternative 2 again?
Alternative 1 and alternative 2 are alternative ways of interpreting the letter of the law. As I said, if we don't do the technical fix, the law remains as ambiguous. It's not clear how we should calculate city grandfather. And there are two different ways of calculating. One would be just to reinstate the $361 million of LGA that existed in 2001. And the second would be to reinstate the $361 million that were grandfathered in 2001, plus add on the $26 million of grandfather that still remains in 2004. So you would end up with $388 million of grandfather. And essentially, the big winners under those circumstances would be a lot of regional centers who were granted that regional center aid that remained in 2004.
So, Mr. Chairman, maybe I'm trying to get these different ones down. The second one, then, would you say there would be a way you could interpret it as saying that the intent was to keep the grandfather in that was everybody known was intentionally gotten rid of, and to also add in the aid that was added for those cities because they lost the grandfather, and you could interpret it that way? That you could keep both in the one that was gotten rid of plus the aid that was only in there because they had lost the previous one?
Excuse me, Representative Abrams, since this is your bill, would you like to give us your interpretation of what it does?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's why there's a legal department at the Department of Revenue. And that's why that this bill is necessary, because there is a drafting error in which it could be interpreted one of two ways. That the grandfather aid would be there, plus the regional center aid to replace the grandfather aid would be there under one interpretation. I will assure you, Representative Mulery, that in at least my office, we went around and around and around. The language, if you read it, is circular. And it's a question of where you break the circle in order to have interpretation number one or interpretation number two. And the legal people at the Department of Revenue believed that interpretation number two was the letter of the law, and maybe Ms. Dalton can help a little bit more, but we spent a lot of time trying to figure out which interpretation was better, and it's one of those 51-49 calls for $7.
So, Representative Abrams, what we have in front of us is a technical correction that gets us to the second interpretation, is that correct?
No.
I'm sorry.
But what the technical correction does is it brings it to the intent of the bill.
Okay.
The language can be interpreted one out of two ways, both of which are unintended.
Now we're making progress.
anybody want to talk about the bread tax?
Controversial.
We'll take that up later. Okay. Representative Earhart.
Thank you. Representative Recovina, what I was going to mention to you, that in your packet is an envelope. And it says, do not open until after you vote. And then it'll say, surprise.
Well,
Representative Recovina, do you have a response to the surprise envelope?
No, I have a question, but I think there are other people ahead of me. Well, maybe not.
Go ahead, Representative Recovina.
Well, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Dalton, I'm back. I'm stuck in a time warp here. And I'm having a mental burp or something.
You want to give us the page number you're on, Representative Recovina?
Page 6 of 27.
Okay. I think everyone has this now.
A regional center in my district called Virginia. And they have two numbers. One is a positive 107, the other one is a zero. So what am I doing here to the largest city in my district? Am I hoping that zero means no effect, or am I hoping or looking at $107,000 loss?
Yeah, I don't answer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bucaclino, we're looking at the zero because the governor had said that the interpretation he was going to go with was alternative two.
Alternative two.
Far right. Alternative two. Far right. That's the interpretation he was going to go with until the chairs of the tax committee and the interested parties, the city organizations, asked him to go with the intent rather than the letter of the law.
So then, Mr. Chair, we just had a discussion a few minutes ago. You said if it's a positive number, you're a loser.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lucavina, they would be a loser if you do not pass the technical bill and somebody...
No.
And... Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina.
Perhaps if you talk to Representative Lindsay, you can get
to the technical correction does not pass. And the Department of Revenue goes with the first interpretation of the law, this city would get $100,000 more.
Right.
But the last decision by the Department of Revenue lawyers was that they were going to go with alternative two if there was no technical fix.
So alternative two of Virginia has no effect. Zero.
Right.
Under alternative two for Ely, let's say, so Representative Hill, my colleague from Range, colleague from Ely, knows as a freshman here that when he sees negative 205,392 on both columns, that he's a net gainer then.
Right.
Under the technical fix.
Okay.
Right.
And
so.
Okay.
I'm afraid to talk, Mr. Chairman, because I knew I'm the
just to okay, Representative Dill.
So line 3, column 3, with 47, Bill 47 passing this committee, column 3 is the number. With the bill passing and the law.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, that's correct. Column 3.
Okay.
And that is essentially the number that was certified to all cities in September 1, for what they would make, what they would get in 2005.
Okay. Where are we at here? Representative Lucheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it might be helpful. One example, maybe for the committee to think about this, particularly for new members, is that you could support or oppose the technical fix today regardless of how you felt about the actual LGA change in 03. What Representative Abrams is trying to do is fix the drafting error, and I'm supporting that. And an example for you to see would be if you looked at page 1 at my community, Bloomington does better if I vote against today's technical fix, but I'm going to vote for it. I took the position in the debate that I supported the formula. Now, what I should do here and now is vote against this bill, because my individual circumstance would be better if this technical fix didn't happen. But the reason I'll support it is I think we all saw in all the cities, whether they were tax-based, wealthy, or poor, that when the governor was left with the decision, it threw all of our communities into a tough situation. And I know if any of you have met with the League of Minnesota Cities, who's here in the room, who represents all of us and try very hard to represent all of our mayors and council members, they are united in wanting the technical fix taken care of, because it leaves in limbo for the cities what's going to happen in this coming year. And the question, I think, really from the greater policy standpoint for the committee is, do you want the governor to make that decision again next year? Now, I don't have anything against the governor, but I don't want him to. I mean, it was the intent of the legislature to follow a certain formula. I think members who oppose that formula, you know, vociferously, Representative Dorman and Marquardt were strong voices. I could certainly see them, when this got to the floor, opposing the fix from the grounds that they didn't support the LGA plan in the first place. However, they benefit under the fix here now. So it's a complicated issue. But I think the intent of the author here, and I certainly can't speak for him, is just to recognize the drafting error, to say that it has thrown cities into a quagmire of problems as they try to determine what will the state do next, and we'll be back with the governor having to make that call once again. And I just think we would all want to avoid that.
Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment. I think I represent cities that are winners, so I just wanted to comment about, we're using the term loser, basically what we are saying, and I think we all know this on the committee, but it's important for the public to know, is that we're taking property tax relief away from these cities that we're calling losers. And in my community, it's over $1 million in two of my communities and a lot in others. And so I would like us to revisit the local government aid issue in the future. And I wanted to comment that I represent winners, and it's just unfortunate that our communities are the ones who got their taxes increased in one community 20% and another community 30% in due part because of the LGA cuts.
Again, members, I think as Representative Abrams said at the outset, this is a technical fix according to the bill that passed in 2003, and everyone has agreed to as far as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong here, Representative Abrams, a ceasefire on LGA, so that at least cities, when they are going through their levy setting process here, know what technically, or they know exactly what the legislature has intended or has done without regard to what may happen later on in this legislative session. So,
Chairman,
Representative Abrams?
Precisely correct. The cities went through a budget setting process based upon the law as interpreted by the chairs that passed in 2003. Now, if the legislature doesn't enact this change, or if some city someplace decides to sue and say, I want my money under the interpretation of the law, and you get a judge who says, you're right, this is what the law says, sir, or city, or whatever, well, then you're going to have 837 cities, of which maybe 500 are going to be thrown into absolute chaos. And I don't even know if I passed this out last year, Mr. Chairman, this run. But when you see that the city of Minneapolis would lose $12.5 million if you interpreted the law the way the Department of Revenue does, you know, I think that that's a big deal, and I do want to have certainty among the cities that, yes, indeed, there was a drafting error, it will be fixed, and if somebody goes forward and tries to sue while the legislature is in session, we have a way in which we can short-circuit that lawsuit in a real hurry. And I think that it's a responsible thing to do, Mr. Chairman, and you are correct that there's been a lot of effort by a lot of people based upon the law as intended rather than the law as written.
Any further questions? Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank Representative Abrams for bringing forward this this fix. I fully support it. Cities have built their budgets for 2005 based on an interpretation of this fix, and for us to not move forward on it, I think, would be in bad faith. with respect to our cities, and so I urge a yes vote.
Now, Representative Rucavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, thank you, Representative Abrams, for correcting a technical flaw in your 2003 bill, but Representative Lanning, it would be remiss, I would be remiss if I didn't correct you about a fix, because we're just correcting a technical error here and giving ourselves back the authority that we have as a lawmaking body for the state to not let the governor make a decision that none of us intended him to make. But Representative Lanning, the real fix has yet to come this year, and that is the fix that we have to make in this body to correct what was done in 2001. And I've been saying this for years. We had a major property tax overhaul that we never paid for. And when the growth didn't come that Representative Swigum and Representative Abrams and Representative Colente at the time told us that this growth in our economy would take care of, then we came here in 2003 and you were here and we took away significant amounts of property tax relief for our constituents that Representative Bernardi was alluding to. We don't correct this, and you know, I've been walking around here feeling like perhaps I'm nuts, which most of you probably agree with to begin with, but you know, yesterday in the paper I saw that Governor Carlson, former Governor Carlson, responded to the cheap shot he got from now current Governor Pawlenty in the paper yesterday, Pat Sweeney's article in the Pioneer Press, and he says here, and I'll just say in the last two paragraphs, Carlson said that in 1991, when he faced a budget deficit similar to the shortfalls Pawlenty has faced over the past 2 years, he and the legislature both cut spending and raised taxes. By 1994, Minnesota's economy had recovered. He stands by his 2000 critique of Pawlenty's no-new tax pledge, and the former governor also said Pawlenty, the House Republican majority leader in 2001, helped create the budget problems the state continues to face. Carlson said, lawmakers and Pawlenty have never found a way to pay for the big property tax cut they enacted in 2001. They've never gotten out of that hole, Carlson said. That was a man-made hole, or a woman-made hole, too. Yeah. So, you know...
Was that the quote in the paper, or was that your editorializing on that?
I corrected him because I'm politically correct, Mr. Chair, but you know, as I am. But that's what we have here today, Representative Manning. So,
Lanning.
So we shouldn't be making this out as a fix, Representative Lanning. It's a technical correction. The fix is yet to come, and hopefully you'll be part of that fix. I know that Representative Dorman will. Signing off, sir.
Oh, yeah. it's a great pleasure to have that editorial comment. Representative Maury.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Abrams, you mentioned the second one as the one that they had decided to go with. It seems to me that, well, as an attorney and a tax attorney, you're obviously aware even more than I am of the fact that the court would have to look at any time there's any ambiguity in the law, even the slightest, they have to look at the intent. And it just seems impossible to get to the second one because of the fact that since that, as Ms. Dalton said, you're adding in the extra grandfather aid that was added in because you were taking away the old grandfather aid. Now, how would you... it just doesn't seem logical to say that you could take an interpretation where you're adding in something that was replacing an old one and you're going to put both of them in.
No, Mr. Chair, but
Representative Abrams.
Representative Valerie, I am not advocating either alternative one or alternative two. I am advocating the technical fix. I spent enough time talking to the lawyers to know that there are strong arguments in favor of both argument number one and argument number two. So I would like to make argument number one and argument number two moot by having the technical fix and being able to move on.
Comments or questions from any other members? If not, is there anyone in the audience who wants to testify either in favor or in opposition to the legislation? You don't want to come down and join in the festivities this morning about LGA yet? I guess they're going to wait for later festivities. Anyway, Representative Rucavina.
Mr. Chair, would you instruct staff, your staff, to keep this Carlson Court in my safe?
It's always interesting to revisit history, isn't it, Representative Rucavina? So, Representative Abrams, did you want to take a trip down memory lane this morning, too?
Well, maybe my memory's a little bit fuzzy, Representative Rucavina, but you spent 8 years just trashing Ernie Carlson when he was governor, and now all of a sudden he's your secretary to the former governor. You quote him even more often than you quote Rudy Perpich, Representative Rucavina.
Times, they are changing, aren't they, Representative Abrams? Yeah.
Absolutely, just for the record, I want you to know that when Ernie Carlson left here, he had no better friends than the Iron Range delegation, and in fact, Mr. Chair, Representative Abrams, I can recall telling pin jokes to Arnie Carlson in one of the little offices with Bernie Ullman and others that I really can't tell here, but I remember Arnie just laughing his head off, because I used to inform him the way his name was spelled, that he probably was a sweet pin, or a pin sweet, whichever one he might be. So we were absolutely touchy-feely.
Hello, former governor. That was in year eight. The previous 7 years, he trashed him. So anyway.
Six and a half.
Okay. Representative Knobloch.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Chair, going down memory lane, I seem to remember some touchy-feely quotes that Governor Carlson had about Representative Rucavina and his party during, I guess, at least the previous 7 years that Representative Rucavina was talking about. I think we'll have to dredge those up later.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, Representative Abrams renews his motion that House File 47 be recommended to pass and referred to the floor?
General Register.
General Register. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed? Motion passes. The minutes, members from the previous meeting, you have those in front of you, Thursday, January 13th. Any additions, corrections, deletions to the minutes? Representative Zeller.
So my German heritage is not... My father does not come back and give me a hard time. I'm Kurt with a K. Technical, very technical, Mr. Chairman. But as long as we're on technical corrections today.
That's so noted. We wouldn't want anyone in the history books to misinterpret that. Okay. Any other corrections?
Oh, I'm not.
Okay. All those in favor of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed? Adopted. Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question for you, Mr. Chair, and for the committee to think about as well. I spoke with Chairman Krenke in the hall briefly this morning, and I'm interested in the purview and jurisdiction of this committee for this year, kind of what you see us really spending time on maybe over the next month. I know in the past, and I've only served under one other chair in taxes, that was Representative Abrams, but I had heard that former chairs, Dee Long and Ann Rest, similarly fought hard to keep all tax bills in the jurisdiction of the tax committee. And I just thought it would be interesting to hear kind of where you're at on that. I know that there are little issues out there that the legislature looks at that some people would not like to come to taxes and other people would like them to get the taxes. And I just wonder if we would benefit just from a 5-minute discussion of where you think you'll be personally on fighting to get things to taxes and fighting to keep things that have tax implications coming before us. I know there are parts of tax policy that are handled by other committees, but they usually make a stop here. If it's a gas tax, it's coming out of transportation, it usually gets here. If it's a cigarette tax and it's coming out of health and human, it usually gets here. Gambling tax issues have come here. And I just kind of wondering, you know, what we might, Stadium has usually made it here, kind of what we might expect and how you'll approach that, and then how particularly the minority will work with you. We'd like to do that, and just kind of your thoughts on where that'll all go and how we'll work together on that.
Well, it's certainly number one. I think the issues, some of these issues will evolve over time. And it certainly would be my intention that any bill dealing with increases in revenues, any bill that is dealing with how local jurisdictions may or may not tax will come before this committee. I will say, though, that in the past, the Speaker has worked diligently to try to keep bills that might end up in a committee that I chaired away from the committee. So I don't want to say that even though in the past, as I've chaired committees, when I have requested bills, somehow they never seem to actually end up in a committee. But it would be my intent, certainly, that to follow the traditions of past chairs, and that this committee would have purview over, again, anything that would impact state revenues, either positively or negatively. Whether it be, I think one of the issues you spoke about is gaming. If we're looking at a gambling proposal that would bring additional revenues to the state, while they may not call it a tax, I would certainly think if it's a license fee that impacts revenues, that this committee should see that type of legislation. As well as, again, if it's a stadium legislation, even if it was paid for out of Native American gaming proceeds or something of that nature, that I, again, if it impacts state revenue, I think it appropriately should come before the committee. So, Representative Rukavina.
Chair, along those lines, and Representative Lucheski, now when we, and by the way, I'm very pleased that we're hearing bills like the tsunami bill and this bill and getting them out of here. Is it your intent now to start putting together an omnibus bill? And let's say, for an example, a stadium bill that has local match implications. Would that start out and be re-referred to our subcommittee and come back up? And all local property tax issues, would they come through Representative Vanderbilt's subcommittee first and then come up here?
Again, this is obviously a new committee for me, and we're going to have to work through some of these things. Representative Vandeveer, first of all, has requested that a couple of additional members be added to the division, and I don't know what the representative's latest discussions with the speaker on that issue have been. That's part of the reason why we haven't referred bills down to the division yet, is just Representative Vandeveer talking to the speaker about the makeup of the members on the property tax and local tax division. But again, it would be my assumption that most legislation that deals with property taxes or with local taxes, i.e. Local option sales taxes, would go to the division before they come before the full committee.
So, Mr. Chair, then if I could, if, let's say, somebody introduces an idea for a turbocharged postcard,
mm-hmm.
would that go first to Representative Vandeveer since it's a local issue, or... And another example, a funding for K-12 that the governor is proposing, which is the local property tax levy. Would that then, on the education bill, come back through his committee, or would it just come here to the full committee, even though it's a property tax issue?
Well, correct me, Representative Abrams, but I believe those issues would start in the education committee, and they would come before this committee the K-12 finance bill, and we would hear the K-12 finance bill as it is forwarded to us from the K-12 Finance Committee, not hearing individual pieces of K-12 levy issues and then try to attach them or somehow deal with them as the K-12 finance bill came before the committee.
So, Mr. Chair, then your interpretation would be that even though the K-12 bill has significant property tax implications, that it would just stop and it wouldn't go through.
Again, that's my interpretation of past history and tradition. If someone wants to talk about making a different approach to that, certainly we can discuss it, but at this juncture, I don't think it's appropriate for us to start talking about K-12 levies in contradiction or perhaps in deference to what the K-12 Finance Committee does. I mean, certainly when they come here, we will have hopefully a thorough discussion of them and put the approval or disapproval by this committee on the tax implications. But I think it appropriately starts in K-12 finance. Other questions or other comments? Again, certainly feel free to contact me or happy to sit down and talk with individual members about what they see as the purview of the committee or the goals of the committee. Members, I think we all understand that it's going to be imperative that we pass a tax bill this year. No matter what differences of opinion we may have about the scope, the extent, or the impacts of tax policy, it's going to be imperative for us to pass a tax bill, and hopefully the sooner we pass one, the better. Again, I would say that if we get bogged down in discussing issues as alternative minimum tax, single sales, I think the list goes on and on and on. We can sit and debate tax policy here for months on end and not reach a conclusion, but I think it's going to be imperative upon us to reach a conclusion as soon and as quickly as possible. That is going to be necessary for us to balance the budget, and we know we need to do that before June 30th, or we as legislators and the citizens of this state are going to be in trouble. We don't want to have a government shutdown, which faces us come June 30th. We'll just, with regard to a specific schedule, the next meeting will be not as is on the agenda today, but on Wednesday, the 26th at 10:15, and we're going to have an overview from the Department of Revenue, and then most likely what we will proceed from there is to hear the governor's tax proposals and start moving to understand and I'm sure to a certain extent deliberate over what the governor is going to propose as far as a tax bill and a budget. So, if there are no further questions, Wednesday, next meeting, Wednesday the 23rd, 10:15. I'm sorry, 26th. Wednesday the 26th. Meeting adjourned.